This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. We're looking at the G7, which earlier this month came to an agreement on a proposal to impose a global minimum tax. Now, there are two parts to this deal. Pillar one involves reallocating share profits to discourage multinationals from shifting profits and taxable earnings to lower tax countries. Pillar two involves setting a minimum global corporate tax rate of 15% to avoid countries undercutting each other's tax rate to attract MNCs.
Now, this is a landmark deal, and while it's only been agreed upon in this small G7 group, it will be taken up among the G20 and wider OECD later this year. We did speak with Simon Baptist, chief economist of the Economist Intelligence Unit, for an immediate reaction to the developments when the news first came out. So you can learn more about that looking up the podcast Once in a Century Global Tax Agreement on the BFM app or our website. Today, however, we're asking the question of how these tax rules could impact our local tax regime. Will Malaysia benefit or lose out?
So we're posing these questions to Tan Hui Beng, Deputy Tax Leader at Deloitte Malaysia. Hui Beng, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. Could you briefly explain how this global minimum tax rate would actually work for foreign companies operating here in Malaysia? Would they have to pay a top-up tax?
Morning, Chef. Hi. So, yeah, with the 15%, at least 15%, what will happen to the subsidiaries of multinationals operating in Malaysia is... Now, Malaysia's tax rate is actually at 24%, which is higher than 15%, yeah? But Malaysia does offer various generous tax incentives, yeah? Like pioneer status, for example. And as a result, that effectively, the tax rate could go lower than 15% for sure. So let's say under the pioneer status tax holiday is 0% for 20 years, that means the top-up tax of 15%, because 15 minus 0, 15, right, will be picked up by normally, yeah, the jurisdiction where the headquarters is, where the multinational headquarters is, for example, in the US, not Malaysia. So there will be a top-up tax of 15% in the example that I've given to you, yeah?
At this point, what loopholes do you see in this global minimum tax that may require more clarity?
In terms of the clarification needed is really one of it. It's actually, number one is the rate itself. The rate itself is not ascertained, actually. The language used here is at least, right? So it could be higher than that. So it's just subject to debate, and countries like France say they want higher than that. So actually 15% is just a starting point, a very important subject matter, which a lot of misconception, you know, that 15% is the rate, but it's not really the rate. It's not being ascertained in that sense, yeah?
So, Hui Beng, maybe you can go into a little bit more detail around the impact this could have on Malaysian tax policy. So earlier, you noted things like the pioneer status, which gives 0% tax for a little while. These are tax incentives that we do to bring in foreign business. Will this kind of have implications to our ability to attract, I guess, a foreign FDI from a tax perspective?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, this is a very good question. And not only Malaysia is having concern on this, a country like Singapore, Hong Kong, who offers generous tax incentives, have this issue as well. So back to Malaysia, of course, the fiscal tax holiday is one of the important areas where we use that as a tool. Malaysia uses that as a tool to attract investors, right? Now, but don't forget that there are other X factors as well. For example, location, you know, cost of living, availability of skillful workforce. So all these factors are equally important. That's why Malaysia must focus on these areas to ensure that we are able to continue to attract foreign direct investment. Because with this minimum tax 15%, essentially, you know, even though if the subsidiaries of the multinational doesn't pay tax in Malaysia due to tax holiday, there will be top-up tax. So eventually, globally, wherever they operate, that's going to be a 15%, right? So the X factors, the non-tax factors must kick in, yeah? Yeah.
Now, conversely, Hui Beng, how is this going to affect Malaysian businesses interested in expanding abroad? What considerations will they have to keep in mind where taxes are concerned?
Right. So again, let's take a simple example. Malaysian companies invest in, let's say, Singapore, right? And Singapore corporate tax rate is 17% right now. But again, they do offer generous tax incentives, right? Let's say Malaysian subsidiaries operating in Singapore have a tax incentive in Singapore, global trading hub principal incentive at 5%. So then the dividend that is going to be repatriated back from Singapore back to Malaysia is tax exempt. So essentially, effectively, your Malaysian companies operating there is only paying 5%. But with the global minimum tax rate being applied here, Malaysia will do the top up of 15% minus 5, 10%. So the Malaysian government will be able to collect the top up tax of 10%. So eventually, it's going back to 15%. So will this deter Malaysian companies from investing overseas? Now, again, this is must not be a tax-driven question, because if we choose to invest in, for example, Hungary, corporate tax is 9%, or in Singapore, corporate tax rate is 17%, but there's a tax holiday, therefore maybe your effective tax rate is 5%. That must be not be tax-driven, because if there is a prospect in Hungary, there's a prospect in, for example, in Singapore, then it must be driven by that factor, non-tax factor again, yeah, in that sense, yeah.
On a net-net basis, what's your best estimation of how these new rules will impact the tax revenue for the Malaysian government?
I think this is a good question, because we have various subsidiaries of multinationals operating in Malaysia, right, in manufacturing sector, for example. And some of them do have tax holiday from the Malaysian government. So in the past, let's say the tax holidays for 10 years, final status, so Malaysian government will not be collecting taxes for 10 years, example. But under this rule, global minimum tax rate at 15%, assuming Malaysia does go or introduce a law where domestically Malaysia will do the top-up tax, then this will benefit Malaysia, because Malaysian government will be able to collect the 15% top-up tax in Malaysia, rather than allowing a jurisdiction where the headquarters is to collect tax. So Malaysia should do that, because if we do the top-up tax, Malaysia collects that, then we can use that money to actually spend on wisely, for example, on innovation, on upskilling workforce. And then with that, all these factors, again, we may be able to continue to be a preferred destination for foreign investors with or without tax incentives. Yeah.
So, Hui Bing, I guess the big question here is how soon do you think we could see this take effect, if at all?
Yeah, I mean, this question has been asked by a lot of people. If you think about it, on 5th June, G7 announced it in London. It was such a big news. But they say that, the devil is always in the details, because after G7, it needs to go through G20's meeting sometime this week, this month, end of this month, then followed by OECD's meeting. Yeah. So again, it will take a while. Not only that, there's an inclusive framework comprising of 139 countries, including Malaysia. So global consensus must be achieved. Yeah. Whilst it's a big news in London, but this is going to take a while. And I expect that at least it'll take 2 to 3 years. It won't be immediate. But in the meanwhile, obviously, Malaysia must start considering what are the implications and what we need to do. As I mentioned earlier, we need to, to bring all the X factors, non-tax factors for us to remain competitive, right? So time is now for us to think about it, yeah.
Hui Bing, thank you so much for joining us this morning. That was Tan Hui Bing, Deputy Tax Leader at Deloitte Malaysia. I think wrapping it up quite nicely. The bottom line there is that we now need to look way beyond tax incentives in order to be an attractive destination for FDI if we want to remain competitive in a time where we have this global minimum tax rate in place.
Yeah, so it shouldn't be a race to the bottom. I think this is in line with becoming a more developed country. You need to invest in other things like infrastructure and also your education system.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line really being here that there are a lot of numbers being thrown there, and for a while I got a bit lost. I don't know about you, but essentially the bottom line, if I've got this correct here, is that it's a soft way of discouraging tax incentives as a way to pull in foreign money and FDI and things like that. So if a country wants to do 0% pioneer tax that we do, then the HQ of that the business that's investing here will still have to pay tax somewhere else. So essentially, there is a flaw here. And Malaysia loses out if it wants to do 0% or something like that. Eventually, that money, that tax money, will be paid somewhere. So we might as well raise our tax thresholds to take advantage of that. At least that's the plan right now. Let's take note that G7 is only 7 countries, albeit very powerful countries in the world. They'll take this to the G20 and the OECD. But there are a lot of other countries that may or may not play ball. China has brought up some concerns over the tax incentives that it does. A lot of developing countries do use tax incentives to spur some industries, and China being one of those key parts there, right? A lot of state-driven development. So this will be interesting. I don't think it's going to be a smooth road, but it'll be an interesting one to watch and something that could have ramifications in terms of how we attract FDI, no longer about a race to the bottom, as Noel said.
Yeah, so there's, you know, as Huibing estimates that it's going to be another two, perhaps 3 years before we actually see something like this come into effect, considering the fact that this this is going to have to go to the G20 and then to the OECD countries. So there are a lot more hoops to jump through in terms of negotiations and consensus planning before we actually see something like this. So this is something, nevertheless, to keep an eye out for. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.